I'm sure we've all heard about stroke, both young and the adult. It's a very life-threatening medical condition, and even though most of us have heard of it, maybe we don't know the details. So I'm just gonna give an overview, information about it, so that we can all learn something today and take it from there. So stroke, the objective here tonight is for us to understand stroke and to be able to see ways and means to prevent it, and if you get it, how you can manage it and to live the best possible life as possible. So stroke is a very serious life-threatening condition that I said earlier, and it occurs when the blood supply to part of the brain is cut off. So everybody needs oxygen in their body, to perfuse through the body for us to function properly. So once part of the brain is unable to get that oxygen, then there is a problem. So what happens is there are three types of stroke. We have one which is the TIA. TIA is what we refer to as a mini stroke. That one, when it happens to you, normally within 24 hours, it reverses back. So when you get that is like a massive warning. It's telling you that there is a possibility of you having a major stroke, so you need to start looking after yourself and start taking care of yourself, because nobody can do that for you. And then we have in UK, stroke is the leading cause of disability and is the fourth largest cause of death in UK here. 85,000 of people are admitted into hospital every year. Some causes of stroke could be genetics. So that one, there's not much we can do about it, but 70% of causes are preventable based on the way we take care of ourselves. So like I said, interruption of blood flow to the brain, resulting in damage to the tissue, brain tissue. So I've already spoken about the TIA, which is the mini stroke, and then we have the major stroke. So we have two major strokes. One, the first one is ischemic stroke, and the second one is hemorrhagic stroke. So the ischemic stroke is when there is a blockage in an artery in the brain, which causes a clot. So when there is a clot, as you can see on the diagram, when there is a clot right here in the brain, it stops the brain from getting the oxygen it's supposed to get, and that causes stroke. The second one is hemorrhagic stroke. That one is when there is bleeding in the brain. So when that, say you have your artery, there is blood passing through the artery. Sometimes because of, say, high blood pressure, if it's not controlled, this artery can swell. It keeps swelling, and then it bursts open. And when that happens, you see here that once it bursts open, you see a lot of blood around the brain area, and that causes stroke as well. So, what are the symptoms of stroke? The National Health Service and US, all over the world, there is this acronym, which is FAST. That is what you use to determine whether someone is having stroke or not. So the F means face dropping. So when somebody's face is dropping, you can see that one part of the face is distorted. You can see it's like that. It's distorted. It's not the usual face. You can see it distorted. So that is face. maybe you're talking to them and all of a sudden you see that their face is drooping, then you need to, you know, take a serious look, because that could be stroke. And then there is arm weakness. The person is unable, when you say, hey, lift up your arm, the person is not able to do what I'm doing. The person is not able to lift their arms. When you see that, it means the person is being affected. And then speech, the person would not be able to talk like I'm talking. They began to slur. So they'll go, blah, 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 blah. They are trying to talk, but it's not coming out. Once you see this, you need to call 911 as soon as possible. You need to get a person help. Because when someone is having stroke, depending on the type of stroke they are having, they need to be treated between one, there are some medications that will be effective if they are able to deliver the medication or administer the medication within an hour to three. So between 1 to 3 hours, if they are able to give them that medication, then the patient has a high survival rate. The longer you wait, then obviously the outcome is not going to be so favorable for the patient. So fast, face drooping, arm weakness, speech, and then you call for help. You call the ambulance, and once they know it's stroke, they will be there because they know how important it is. When someone is affected with stroke, they get a lot of disabilities. It's a very serious condition. It affects their speech. They are unable to talk. They are unable to eat because half of the face is distorted. So how are you going to be able, when you're giving them water, you see the water just, you know, trickling down. You try to give them water and they can't even swallow properly. They get weakness. So when the right side is affected, say if the stroke happened on the right side, the left side is what the paralysis goes. And if the person's left side is affected, it's the opposite way. So if the right side is affected, the left side is where they get the paralysis. And if it is the other side, then so it's not the same. It's the other. So if it's this side becomes paralyzed. And if it's affected this side, the other side is paralyzed. And then they are unable to see properly as well. So once you are able to notice that someone is having stroke, what you do is you call for help, get the ambulance to come and pick the patient, take the patient to the hospital immediately. And as soon as the patient gets into A&E, they will send the patient straight to have a CT scan, because they need to know the type of stroke the person is having, whether it's the ischemic or the hemorrhagic, or even TIA. Once they know what they are dealing with, that is when they can treat it. There are some medications without a diagnosis, a scan, they're not going to be able to administer those medications. They need to know exactly what the patient is facing, and then they can treat the patient accordingly. So like I said, call 911. Think fast. Time is brain. Think fast. Brain attack. You call for help. Now, reducing your risk. So this is the most important thing. By God's grace, maybe we are all lucky, we don't have stroke, we haven't had any problems with stroke. How are we going to reduce our risk? That is the most important bit we need to know. So we have non-modifiable factors, and then we have modifiable factors. The non-modifiable factors are factors that is beyond your control, like your age. If you are 55 and above, you can't automatically switch back to 20, like to be 20 years old again. So there's nothing you can do. So with age is an increase of having stroke. family history. If, say, your grandparents or your parents had stroke, there is a high percentage of you developing stroke. There's nothing you can do about that because it's genetic, it's family history. And then there is gender. Gender, it is more common in men than women. So if you're a man, you can't change your sex. It's what it is. So you have to look after yourself. And then ethnicity. We have Asians, African Americans, Africans, you know, we have high percentage of developing stroke simply because we are high risk of developing diabetes and hypertension, including high cholesterol. Because of this, that is what makes us predisposed to having stroke. Yeah, and certain medical conditions increase your likelihood of having stroke or another stroke. Because sometimes people have two strokes. People can have first one, and then if they don't really look after themselves, they have another major one. And normally when that happens, they die, unfortunately, most of them. So if you've had previous stroke or previous TIA, which is the mini stroke, there is a high chance of you having a major stroke. We have high blood pressure. We have high cholesterol. We have heart disease. And then we have AF, which is atrial fibrillation. And then we have the diabetes. And then certain stroke risk factors are controllable through healthy lifestyle, healthy life choices. We cannot overemphasize that. It is all about healthy living. Now that we are home, most people are home, people are not working, they are not working. But the fact that you are not working because of the situation with the COVID and people losing their jobs doesn't mean you have to just be in your house 24/7. You have to make sure that every morning you're able to go out, walk for 30 minutes. If you're unable to go to the gym and you can just walk around your area, just go walk for 30 minutes to an hour. If you can do that twice a day, brilliant. And then you can do that in the morning, and then you can do that in the evening, and that will keep you moving. That will look up, that will help your heart, you know, and that will help you from gaining weight. Because if you begin to just sit at home and keep eating, what you end up is being overweight. And being overweight, you're going to put a lot of stress on your heart. You're going to end up with hypertension. You're going to end up with diabetes, and you're going to end up with high cholesterol. And all these things put together puts you at a very high risk of developing stroke. It doesn't even matter your age. I've seen people who are in their 30s and who are in their 40s who have been affected by stroke. And as a young person, that is the last thing you want to be affected with. We are Adventists, we don't drink, but those who drink, you have to do it in moderation. You have to drink according to the alcohol guidelines and drink less. If your life is stressful, you need to try and balance it out so you are not very stressful, because these things are not, once you have a very stressful life, your blood pressure can go up and that can lead to stroke. If you smoke, you need to try and give it up. If you take some cocaine and some drugs, you need to try and give it up, because all these things are dangerous and can really affect your health and can lead you to have stroke. When somebody gets stroke, what they do is, once they get into hospital, so you have to look at your health. What is your greatest risk? Are you diabetic? Are you hypertensive? Do you have high cholesterol? What do you have to do to protect yourself? If you are diabetic, make sure you have your medication. If you are taking insulin, make sure you take your insulin and check your blood sugars. Make sure you check your blood sugars twice a day at least, so you know your reading, so you can control yourself. Because once it goes very high, if you get stroke and you get into hospital, even on time, and they check that your blood pressure is above 180 and above, and your diabetes is above certain range, say maybe 20 millimoles and above, there are some medications you are not able to hide your hypertension and your diabetes first. But once you are able to control it, even if you get a stroke and you are taken into hospital, you have a high chance of survival. They will be able to give you the appropriate medication and you will survive. So when you get into hospital, what they do is they take you for the scan and then they decide what treatment you need. So either they give you a medication which will unblock, so it will melt the clot that has formed in your brain. It will melt it. Or they will take you into theater to do a procedure and then make sure they get that clot out of your brain just to get it to function normally. But once you get stroke, definitely there will be problems. You will definitely have health problems with your speech, sometimes with your bowel and bladder, walking, talking, everything is affected. You become depressed. You begin to have anger issues because you're trying to talk to someone and they don't understand what you want to tell them. So you become frustrated. You become depressed. You see other people walking up and down and you are thinking, why did that happen to me? Why am I in this position? And sometimes when one part of your body is affected, because they are not able to see that side, that part of the brain is not functioning properly, they neglect the and you have stroke and you get the right-handed stroke, I mean right side stroke, then you are lucky because that means your left side will be paralyzed. And if you are right-handed, that means you can still use your, because already you use your right hand, so you carry on using your right hand. But if you're unlucky and your stroke is on the left side, then that means your right side will be paralyzed. So you're now going to start learning how to use your hands, how to do everything with your left hand. So you can imagine, look at us. We are well, we are able. Now, if you ask me to write with a left pen, I mean, with my right hand, my left hand, I'm not going to be able to do it because I'm not used to it. I'm used to writing with my right hand. But if you have stroke and you are paralyzed on your right side, then you'll be forced to use, because this is the hand you can utilize now. So you'll be forced to drink, do everything with that hand, and you become frustrated. And you'll be in hospital for months, sometimes 6 months, some people a year. Sometimes they manage to go home and their families can't cope, so they have to bring them back into hospital. And sometimes you have to end up in a nursing home. It's not pretty. So we all have to look after ourselves. Healthy eating, exercise, exercise, exercise. Some people are able to get rid of diabetes even with exercise and eating plant-based food, just fruits and vegetables and plant-based. People are able to get rid of diabetes. So if you're able to lead a healthy life, you will be able to control yourself to a greater extent and have quality of life and grow in good health. Treatment, like I said, is based on what is happening, your situation. Recovery can be very, very tough. For them to rehabilitate you, it's not easy. You have to go through physios, the occupational therapist, and so many avenues. But that will take months and months and months. And you'll be bedridden for as long as possible. And you'll be fed through a tube. You know, you'll be fed through a tube. You'll be having just liquid stuff. So we really need to look after ourselves and ensure that we are in charge of our health. We have to be in charge of our health because nobody can do that for us. And we advise, but it is up to us to get up every day and make sure that we eat healthily. If you have high cholesterol, you make sure you are taking your medication or you're doing exercises or you're having some proper nutrition which can prevent or try and reverse it. Some people like to eat red meat a lot. Fatty foods, oils, we have to stop eating all these vegetables and eat olive oil because like red oil, palm oil, it's all the oils which cake up when you put them, when you store them, they are not healthy for you. You have to eat olive oil. That is the best oil, and that is why it's very expensive. If you want to eat your, if you're having your salad, use olive oil. It's not gonna cause you, you know, eat properly and eat all these. We make bad choices. We will pay for it dearly.